This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya 'ala s-salah. Hayya 'ala s-salah. Hayya 'ala al-falah. حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. The title of our khutbah today is حب المساكين, love of the poor. And we'll begin with this story that a man told the sheikh directly. He says, I was from a poor family, but he was a very good student. And he graduated high school with honors. So he was able to enter medical school, but his family was poor. So his family, his father made the sacrifice and he sold the land that was his only source of income. He sold it for the sake of paying his son's tuition. And he says he graduated from medical school with the highest level of honors. And then they hired him to become an instructor at the school. He says, while I was there, I started to always give attention and to draw nearer to the rich. And I never bothered with poor people whatsoever. Even when I got scholarships, I gave it to the rich who were not in need of it. Any kind of discount, I gave it to the rich, and I never gave anything to the poor. And I always got closer to them and drew nearer to them and made sure they were in my contacts. And then he says, after that, he was able to, after a while, start his own clinic. And the clinic was making good money. He says, then I married a woman from a rich family. And from that clinic, I opened a second clinic and a third. And he says, I would sometimes treat the rich people for free and not even charge them. But I was very severe with the poor. I would not give them any type of treatment. I would not even allow them in until they have paid the amount in full. I was قصوة شديدة مع الفقراء. He says, then Allah allowed me to open a hospital, and I specified in a specific kind of illness. That was our specification, or our specialty. And then he says, and I would still be very severe with the poor. They're never allowed until they pay everything in full, while the rich, I was very gentle and very lenient with them. He says, one day an old man was brought in by his three sons, and they were all poor, and he had an advanced stage of that illness that was our specialty. And I told them that I'm not going to allow him into the operating table. Even though he's in desperate need of operation, I will not allow him into the operating table until you pay the amount in full. So the oldest son, he said, Ethan, that in that case, we have to sell our house. He said, I told him, I don't care what you have to sell, but he's not going to get any treatment until you pay in full. He said they went and they sold their home for half the price, half its value, and then brought me the money, and then I allowed the father. And while they were prepping him before the operation, during the prep, he died. So one of my doctors came to me and said the man died before we even took him into the operating table. And they had a law there that if you die before the operation, you can get a full refund. But if you die on the operating table, you don't get a refund. So I told him, don't tell anyone about this. And we waited about half an hour. So meanwhile, the sons think that they're operating on the father. And then we came out to them and we lied to them. We told them, your father died on the operating table. So besides the fact that they were devastated, now they're homeless and they sold their home for a cheap price. He said, the older son tried to negotiate with me to get some kind of refund. I refused. I absolutely refused. Wouldn't give him anything. Then he swears by Allah. He says, wallahi, just in 2 days, I got a pain in the same exact area where the old man had his ailment. In the same exact spot, exactly in 2 days. So I wasn't too worried. I had it diagnosed and it's my hospital. And I found out that I had the exact same illness that the old man had. But we couldn't cure it. No matter what I did, we couldn't cure it. So I had to go overseas. He says, I went to Europe. And it was very expensive there. The living and staying in the hospital and being a foreigner. He said, I started to sell the cars and I sold the houses and I sold the clinics. And it got to the point where I even sold the hospital. And my wife left me and she took the children and she went away. And he says, wallahi, they would treat me with the same materialism, with the same harshness and crudeness that I used to treat the poor people during my time. And he says, now I am living in this small room that is just one of the muhsineen just gave it as a sadaqah for me to stay in. I have no family, I have no money, and I have no good health. There are obviously many lessons to learn from this story. But one thing that clearly stands out is that this person did not love the poor. And even though he was from amongst them in the beginning, but he had no love in his heart for the poor. Contemplate this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, narrated by Ahmad rahimahullah. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say, Allahumma inni as'aluka fi'la al-khayrat. O Allah, I ask you the ability to perform or to do the good deeds. So why would the Prophet of Allah make a dua like this? O Allah, give me the ability to do the good deeds. Because the scholar said that if Allah azza wa jal doesn't give you tawfiq, it's not going to happen. Tawfiq hina, meaning if Allah doesn't give you assistance, doesn't give you success in completing the good deeds, it won't happen. And that's why they explained, many people know about the virtues, the excellence, the benefits of qiyam, but they don't get up for qiyam. Allah didn't give them tawfiq. They know the virtues of fasting, but they don't fast regularly, or getting up for fajr. And that's why this dua is so important. You're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to facilitate, to give you assistance, to give you success in completing the good deeds. Allahumma inni as'aluka fi'la al-khayrat wa tarka al-munkarat, and to leave the reprehensible acts. And then in the middle of this dua, so the first thing, doing good deeds, staying away from reprehensible acts, and then وَحُبَّ الْمَسَاكِينَ وَحُبَّ الْمَسَاكِينَ. So, and linguistically the scholars say, حُبَّ الْمَسَاكِينَ can mean for me to love the poor. And it also linguistically means for the poor to love me. And either way, that means there's a good relationship between the two. But why this dua? Because the scholars mention how poor people naturally turn away from them. People naturally avoid them. You go overseas for Umrah or Hajj, and when you see the poor people, sometimes you go a different path or just try to avoid them. They're coming at you and asking and what have you. But the scholar said if someone loves the poor, then they're naturally going to be someone who pays their zakah. They're also going to be someone who gives in sadaqah. What's the value of loving the poor if you don't give? You're going to be someone who gives in sadaqah. You're going to be someone who has humility. You're not arrogant. You don't see yourself as above those people that you love. You're not someone who is extravagant and wasteful. Someone who would spend $2 million on a vehicle while your heart is connected to the poor and you know how many poor families you can save and help with that money. If you love the poor, that softens your heart. If you love the poor, you remember the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon you. You don't take them for granted. Because you're always aware of the situation of those who are poor. And if you love the poor, even if you don't have money to give to them, you will encourage others to give them. And we're going to look at evidence for that in a little bit, inshallah. Who is the, with that then, what is important is to understand, who is the poor person in Islam? And in Islam, the poor person is the one who can only afford part of what they need. Part of what they need. We tend to think that the poor person can't afford any of what they need. No. Islamically, even if they can afford for some of their expenses, but not the rest, they qualify as a poor person. And a wonderful evidence of that is what is in Surah Al-Kahf. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, أَمَّا السَّفِينَةُ فَكَانَتْ لِمَسَاكِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ فِي الْبَحْرِ. As for the boat, it belonged to poor people. And the way we think, what kind of poor person owns a boat? They own the boat. They were able with this boat to get part of what they are in need of, but not all of it, and that qualifies them as a poor person. And this is important for us to understand in America, because sometimes you'll find someone who's employed, he makes $36,000 a year, but he's poor. How are you poor and you make $36,000 a year? He lives with his wife and her two parents, and his mother, and their six children. $36,000 a year, is that enough? It's not enough, and he qualifies as a poor person, and the masjid can help them. Some masajid workers who help the poor, they don't understand this concept. One was saying a widow came to them. They asked her, what's your rent? She said, I don't pay rent. We own the house. My husband paid it off before he died. So they couldn't understand how she's poor if she has a house. They said, sell the house. Like, sell the house in a few years now. We have her rent problem and her other problems. So she doesn't have to pay rent. That's taken care of. She's still poor because her other needs are not taken care of. So the poor person is only the one who can afford part of their what they need and their expenses. And it's also interesting how linguistically we have the miskin and we have the faqir. And there's a subtle difference between the two. Miskin. المسكين هو الذي أسكنه أو أسكنته الحاجة. أسكنته الحاجة يعني أسكتته. So this person is poor and that poverty silenced him. So he doesn't ask people either because of weakness or because of عزة, because of feeling dignity and honor. They don't want to lower themselves. They don't ask. So this is a miskin. But the faqir is the one who is in need, but he openly asks people for what they need. So you can say that Islam is the religion of the poor. It gives them care, it gives them attention, it gives them importance, and it gives them dignity. And because of that, it is also attractive to the poor. When Heraclius or Heracl, when he asked the Prophet, when he asked Abu Sufyan, who are the followers of the Prophet? Is he followed by the poor or the rich? And Abu Sufyan, he responded, he is followed by the poor amongst the people. Likewise, when the nobles of Quraysh, they told the Prophet ﷺ, we will sit with you and listen to you, but you have to send the poor people away. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse in Surah Al-Kahf, وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَ. When he was told to send the poor away so that the nobles can sit and learn, Allah azza wa jalla tells him, and keep yourself patient by being with those who call their Lord in the morning and in the evening, seeking His pleasure. As for our Prophet ﷺ himself, he was given the option of being Malakan Rasula or Abdan Rasula, of being a king, Malikan Rasula, a king who is a messenger, or a servant of Allah who is a messenger. Ya'ani, the scholar said that he would be able to eat one day and he would stay hungry the next day. Whereas some prophets were kings and prophets, ya'ani, like Sulaiman and like Dawood alayhi salam and so on and so forth. But the Prophet ﷺ chose to be Abdan Rasulah, didn't choose to be a king. From the importance of taking care of the poor, feeding the poor, in Surah Al-Muddathir, the people of Al-Jannah are asking the people of the hellfire, may Allah protect us from that. مَا سَلَكُكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ. What put you, what ended you here in Saqar? قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. We were not of those who prayed. And then immediately, وَلَمْ نَكُ نُطْعِمُ الْمِسْكِينَ. And we were not of those who fed the poor. In Surah Al-Fajr, in Surah Al-Ma'un, in Surah Al-Ma'un, وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينَ. In Surah Al-Fajr, ولا تحاضون على طعام المسكين. And it didn't say ولا تطعمون المسكين, or it didn't say you don't feed them. The reprimand isn't that you don't feed the poor. It's that you don't encourage people to feed the poor. That's the reprimand. You understand? يعني it's not saying you didn't feed the poor people. Maybe you're not able to feed the poor. It's still your duty to encourage others to feed the poor. That's to what level the poor are important in Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ma'un puts not feeding the poor, not encouraging people to feed the poor, between أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. And then فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. So those who are neglectful of their prayers, in the middle of these two major crimes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts those who don't encourage others to feed the poor. That is from the importance of that. And in Surah Al-Insan, وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا. And they give the food out of حُبِّهِ. So the scholars differed about this pronoun, حُبِّهِ. Is it referring to Allah Azza wa Jal, or is it referring to the food? And some scholars said, they're saying they give food to the poor out of love of Allah Azza wa Jal. And others said they give food to the poor while they love that food. And the only time you love food is when you're in need of it and you're hungry. So they're saying they're now preferring others. They're preferring the poor over themselves and giving them the food while they themselves remain hungry. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم من جميع الذنوب فاستغفروه. فيا فوز المستغفرين. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his forgiveness. Indeed, those who ask for his forgiveness shall prosper. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. So some action items for us. Always put the poor on your radar. Always put money aside to help out those who are in need. In this masjid, there are many poor people who need help. They come to Sheikh Ibrahim, who is in charge, our Imam Sheikh Ibrahim, he's in charge of that. And a lot of times he says the account is empty, we don't have anything. But we have widows and we have families who have rent and bills and medical medicine they need to buy, or medical bills that they have to pay. One of the brothers estimated that just the Muslims in Southeast Houston, not the Muslims in Houston, just the Muslims in Southeast Houston make $1 billion a year. Just in this area, $1 billion a year. So if that's the case, we should be able to take care of all the poor people. We shouldn't turn anyone aside. So make a note to bring something every now and then. Just whenever you see Sheikh Ibrahim here, or there's a sadaqah box there, always make a note to every now and then drop something in it. You can bring a check or you can bring cash and say, Sheikh Ibrahim, this is just for the poor specifically. And we know how things are expensive these days. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu used to say something beautiful. He used to say, إِذَا أَعْطَيْتُمْ فَأَغْنُوا. إِذَا أَعْطَيْتُمْ فَأَغْنُوا. يعني if you're going to give, enrich people. Meaning, we know that $50 does nothing today. What's a family going to do with $50? If they just accidentally walk into a store, it's disappeared. So if you have $1,000, give it to one family. Or give it to two families, 500 each. That, they can make a difference with that amount of money. Don't give it to 20 families, $50 each. What are they going to do with $50? So that's a nice piece of advice. Maybe that 1,000 will just get them out of the red zone. Maybe that 1,000 will just cover like an area that was, damaging to their life. Just that one versus 50 will not make any dent in anything. And on top of that, from the beauty of Islam, is that it's not always money that is needed. Sometimes it's just love. It's just attention, just affection that the poor or the orphan might need. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ مَسَحَ رَأْسَ الْيَتِيمِ كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِكُلِّ شَعْرَةٍ مِنْ رَأْسِهِ حَسَنًا. يعني whoever just wipes the head of an orphan. Because sometimes, most likely the orphan is poor. But sometimes the orphan inherited money from his father. So it's not a matter of eating and drinking or clothing, but they just lack the affection, they lack the love, they lack the care and the attention. So the Prophet ﷺ said, if you wipe the head of an orphan, boy or girl, and you do that for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no other reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you, with every hair strand that you touch, Allah will give you a hasana, a good deed, for every hair strand that your hand passes over. So we find the orphans in particular given extra attention. So seek out orphans in the community, the refugees that came from Afghanistan, seek them out, see which families are the ones looking after them, take them out to the park or to just play some games. And Islam gave even extra attention to the orphan, as the verse we mentioned earlier from Surah Al-Insan, وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا. طيب, the scholar said the yatim is already part of the masakin. So why would Allah say the poor and the orphan? The orphan is already from the poor. But they said Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned them specifically so that you give them extra attention. Even though they're included under the poor, He wants to highlight the orphan, so you give them extra attention. This is the beauty of our religion. This is the care given to the poor and to the orphans. So what is stopping us? What is stopping us from doing something like that? We end with exactly the same dua as we began. What is stopping us might be tawfiq. And that's why this dua of the Prophet ﷺ is so important and so on point. Allahumma inna nas'aluka fi'l al-khayrat wa tarka al-munkarat. Allahumma inna nas'aluka fi'l al-khayrat wa tarka al-munkarat. Allahumma inna nas'aluka khayr al-fi'l al-khayrat wa tarka al-munkarat. اللهم اجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم لا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا فاللهم أبرم لهذه الأمة أمرا رشدا يعز فيه أهل طاعتك ويهدى فيه أهل معصيتك ويؤمر فيه بالمعروف وينهى فيه عن منكر يا سميع الدعاء وصلى اللهم وبارك على مبعوث رحمة للعالمين وقوموا إلى صلاتكم يرحمكم الله.